tell you today. And God has not forgotten what he said to you last week. I hope you haven't forgotten. God said that it's high time that you stir up your gift. Now, I don't know how many of you have truly stirred up your gift. I don't know how many of you have dusted yourself up and started moving toward that finish line. I don't know how many of you have uprooted out of that city that you planted yourself in, that God didn't want you to stay in. I don't know how many of you have acted upon the call to action that God laid down last week. But I'm here this morning to tell you that he meant it. I said it last week, but I'm saying it again. Now, God did give us a call to action. He did call us away from fearfulness, timidity, and cowardice. Those are not things that befit a man or woman of God that is to be a soldier in God's army. Amen? Amen. And so I actually have something from the Lord by way of, first of all, congratulations to any of you who have truly acted on, stepped out of the boat, and walked on the water with the Lord, toward your destiny, toward your calling. I congratulate you, and yet I stand here knowing not everybody's done it. Now, is that painful? Yes. Yes. And while it took us a while to talk about breaking those chains, I hope it doesn't take us as long talking about doing what God has asked us to do. So I congratulate those who have. Most of what I have to say now has to do with those who haven't. Amen? Amen? And maybe even more so for those who think they have. Who think they have. Who've convinced themselves that they have. And if you talk to them now, they'll try to convince you that they have. Now, let's acknowledge one thing. Whatever God has asked you to do, whatever he has called you to action for, it's not easy, right? When was the last time God told you to do something that was easy or that was comfortable or, dare I say, that you really wanted to do? Oh, we hear God tell us what we really want to do all the time. You know who that God is? You. But God usually challenges the flesh. He doesn't roll with the flesh. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't give you an interest and a passion and doesn't equip you to do the thing that he's called you to do. But the point is, it's all about faith and you not trusting in what you know and what you have and what you can come up with, but trusting God and his provision and his knowledge and his wisdom. That's how you roll with God. But I wanted to first acknowledge the fact that it is difficult, whatever thing he's asked you to do. But we also know that fear can hide behind a mask called activity. Somebody here has found themselves doing stuff. You might call it preparation. You might call it research. But doing things that look like activity, but never mistake activity for progress. Just because you're doing stuff, just because you've gotten up from your place and the finish line is out there and you started to stretch and you started to run in place does not mean you're pressing toward the mark. It doesn't mean that. But you might try to rationalize and try to get other folks to stand back because of your activity. Never mistake activity for real progress. This is not a time for busy work. This is not a time for weighing pros and cons. God called us to what? Action. But we want to weigh pros and cons. We want to think about it. We want to mull it over. We call it preparation. Sometimes, especially in this internet age, we call it research. Research. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now we have the internet. Everybody's brilliant. Research is what we might call it. And yet, when was the last time God asked you to research what he wanted you to do? Amen? Now, while I say that, it's not that there is no place, no room for learning more things in preparation for what God has called you to do. And we're going to learn from the Word today something really interesting along those lines. Are you with me? Amen. So now, when was the last time, speaking of this research and preparation, that you researched or prepared your way from something that you didn't want to do and got yourself to do it? Has it ever happened? All right? Yet, if there's something you wanted to do and you researched it, how often do you reinforce your own beliefs? But we call it objective research. It's often not objective at all. Amen? Now, we're going to go to the Word. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Numbers. Amen. Raise your hand if you've already acted on God's call. Raise your hand if you're still thinking and studying and weighing and measuring, dare I say, researching. I didn't see any hands, but I hear some mms and some laughs and some head nodding. Amen. Praise God. We acknowledge that it's difficult, but that doesn't change the fact that God expects us to step out of that boat and trust him. Now, we're going to learn something about this issue of preparation, because I figured most people would be in that mode. I give you credit for at least being there. I give you credit for not living still in fear. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're not still fearful and timid and living in complete unbelief. I'm giving you that credit. The truth will lie between you and God, but today I'm going to give you credit. Amen? Now, some say if you study long, you study wrong. And so one of the things I want to heighten your awareness about, as God has called us to action, and I know some of you are rationalizing your thinking, your weighing, your measuring, the longer you do this, the more trouble you're likely to get into. The longer you do it. The most ideal circumstance is God says it, I do it, and that settles it. What does that leave more room for? God. Now, as I mull it over and I measure it and I weigh it and I look at it and contemplate it and I try to figure out how I could do it, who's that focusing on? Me, as opposed to God. Amen? And that's not where we want to be. Now, we're going to go back to a familiar situation. I'll tell you right now, we're going to be in the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14, and we're also going to stop on by Deuteronomy chapter 1. Amen? Yeah. Now, we're going to go back to a tough situation, one that we talk about a lot, and that is where the children of Israel failed to go in and take the land. It's familiar to you, isn't it? They failed to go in and take the land. And we often, it's easy for us to do, indict them for their lack of faith. But today we're going to learn a little bit. We're going to peel the onion back a little bit and learn how that whole thing went down. Now, you all think that research is a good thing, don't you? How many of you think that preparation is a good thing? Not all research, though, and not all preparation are good things. And what you're going to learn today that you probably didn't already know, because you have to be dealing in the Bible a certain way to know it, is that while we focus on the outcome of the spying of the land and their opinions as a result of going in, what you may not realize is that it's controversial whether they should have ever spied the land out in the first place. It's controversial. And we're going to go there, and we're going to visit with the controversy. This isn't seminary, so we're not going to try to break it completely down. We could go there. But most theologians actually struggle with answering the question that is controversial. And so they fill in the blanks, usually based on whoever it is they want to venerate the most and blame the least. So you hold back on the leaders and you blame the people. That's how they usually resolve the conflicts. How high in the hierarchy is the person? Unless God has clearly indicted them in the Word, if it's Moses, if it's Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or anyone like that, we cut them slack and we work the answer around it. So we're not going to go fully into that. But what we will do is begin to understand this issue of preparation and more so mindset, so that hopefully you'll be more prepared to step out of this boat and walk to Jesus if you haven't already. Because preparation is not a bad thing if you have the right what? Mindset. Research is not a hindrance. It is not a snare for you if you have the right what? Mindset. So let's go to the Word and learn. So the first place that we're going to go to is we're going to go to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 30 through 34. And the reason we want to go there first is because we want to revisit this punishment. We want to see what God said after he got sick and tired of being sick and tired of the unbelief of these folks. I'll just quickly read 30 through 34. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, speaking about the people, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. We know that they came back with a good report. But your little ones, meaning your young ones, which ye said should be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days which you searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So God is punishing them for failing to act on what he has said. Because instead of acting on what God said, they acted on their what? Research. They acted on their research. Now, remember I told you that it's controversial whether or not they should have been in there in the first place. So let's dig into that just a little bit. Again, I want to congratulate those of you who've acted already. I'm talking mainly to the rest of us. Amen? So let's go to Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to literally look over at Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to do both these back to back. You need to do this in order to see what I want you to see. This is serious study today. I hope you came ready for that. Verses 1 through 3 of chapter 13 read as thus. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So far, it looks like God wanted them to survey or to search out the land. Do you read it the same way I read it? Amen. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And you're going to be looking at verses 19 through 23. 19 through 23. Now, mind you, Deuteronomy was the last book that Moses wrote. And so it was after Numbers. Deuteronomy is a second telling of all of the events. And if you read Deuteronomy, you'll see a whole lot of I's where Moses is concerned. It seems more personal. And yet, both are written, presumably, by Moses. Now, let's see what it has to say. It says thusly, and when we departed from Horeb, this is Moses speaking to the people, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, this is one of those I's. Now he's, by the way, telling them off, just in case you don't know that. And I said unto you, ye were come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. Simply put, God has put the land in front of you. Go up and possess it. Can you handle that? Can you do that? Can you act on that? God has given you a calling. God has given you a task. God has given you a purpose and a destiny, and he's called you to action. Can you simply act in faith? Can you do that? Will you do that? Have you done that? He says, go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Neither be discouraged. But here's the other piece, though. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they so search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one from each tribe. So now, you see the origin of the controversy. You tell me now, you read what I read. Whose idea was it to, quote, spy out the land? Whose idea was it? Was it God's idea? Was it the people's idea and Moses just went along with it? This is where the theologians have a field day. And I can tell you, I studied them. They don't really solve it. What they do is what I told you. They actually figure out who they don't want to offend and they work it all around that. Okay? So now here is the deal. The solution or the answers to our questions and the lesson that we are to learn actually can be found despite this apparent contradiction. Amen? Yeah. And here is how we're going to learn from it. Let's go back, and you can hold your place if you like. What I want you to understand is I want you to understand the mindset in each one of these examples. And I'm going to give you a third example. I'm not going to go there yet. But what I want you to first learn is the mindset that is behind the first two examples, and then we'll go to the third. So when we go back to chapter 13, where God spake to Moses, and he said, "Send thou men out that they may search the land of Canaan." Now, he says here that I'm giving you the land. And in other places, he says that I will do the fighting. You don't have to worry about it. I will go before you. Now, he was a little upset with him, so he said, "I won't be in the midst of you, because if I do, you're going to be hurt. But I'm going to go ahead of you, and I'm going to take care of things." What I want you to understand, this word search means to explore. Explore. This word does not mean, God is not recommending that they go and spy out the land to figure out whether or not it was worth invading. Explore the land. Now, if you go and explore the land that God promised was flowing with milk and honey, then when you go in and you find that it is flowing with milk and honey, you come back what? More prepared, more living in anticipation of doing what God said you should do. If you're exploring the land, if you find yourself thinking about, "Oh, what a wonderful life I could have when God blesses me the way he said he would." And that will happen after I do what he said to do. What if our mindset, as we did our preparing, was that of, "Let me explore the wonderment of what God said would be, so when we see that it's true, we know we're dealing with the God we thought we were dealing with." If we are exploring the land, we've gone past whether whose idea it was to what the idea is itself. This is what many times even the greatest theologians cannot fight their way out of this paper bag. Stuck on the controversy. So what they usually do, the most popular version of this, I get ahead of myself. Oh, man, I want to go there so bad. Let's just suffice it to say that God is recommending that they explore the land. There's nothing wrong with that. God told you to do something. He told you the land was for you, flowing with milk and honey. Exploring the land is not a problem. Now, let's go back over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Should be easy because we just read it. But we're peeling back the onion a little bit more. We're looking at it with a slightly different perspective now. Now, again, this is Moses talking to the people. And he says, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go on up and possess it." And you should just act on it, right? That's the best thing. And he tells them, "Do not fear, nor be discouraged." That's his instruction. Just go handle it. What did God tell you to do? Do it. You worried about how and when and where and all. Okay, God said do it. But what did the people actually say? Forget about whose idea it was. What was the idea itself? It says here that ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, "We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again, by which way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come." Now, what does that sound like? They are researching. They are surveying the land. This sounds like preparations for attack. preparations for attack. The first example, you go and you search out or you explore the land and you find out what's in it. In the first example, you see the milk, you see the fruit flowing with milk and honey. Any giants you might see are incidental. Incidental. You're not looking for them. You're not focusing on them. You might see them, but they're incidental because your mindset is, first of all, God's going to fight the battle. I didn't come here for military reconnaissance. I came here to explore the land, to whet my appetite, because God is going to do this thing, not me. Now, these gentlemen said, we want to send some guys ahead of us so that they can search out the land and bring us word which way we might go up. Now, they don't need to do this. Understand you me. God can handle this without them. But rather than judging them for having asked for this extra information, without judging them for the research, what's the mindset of the researcher? Because I know we're human. We are going to check some things out. We're not going to leap right out of that boat. I know it. But what's the mindset of the researcher? Because it will determine the outcome. So they wanted to know, well, which way do we need to go up? And what cities are we going to go into? That's preparation. That's preparation. Now, even surveying or exploring and preparation, while they're not as good as just stepping out of the boat, they're not as bad as some other things you could do. But either of them, without the action, are empty. Either of them, without progress, are just activities. God cursed them to walk around for 40 years for every day that surveyed the land, because the longer you study how to do it yourself, the more indictment there is on you once you come to your negative conclusion. The longer you study about why you shouldn't do something that God has told you to do, when you come out of that, the more indictment there is on you. So this is what God is saying. And so this preparation is not such a bad thing. Now, I said all that to get down to this final point. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 13. Remember now, we're not too focused on whose idea it is. We're not here to indict any individuals. Yet I will tell you that it is likely that Moses, when he hit that rock twice, that wasn't his first time he had lived. So let's look here. Chapter 13. We know that in verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses. It says here, send thou men that you may search the land of Canaan, which I will give unto the children of Israel. Is that right? Now, after that, what you see is the naming of all of the folks from each tribe that Moses sent. We don't need to cover that. What we want to cover is in verses 17 through 20. All right. And Moses sent them to spy the land. Notice the difference. This isn't searching. So this is not exploring. Okay? This is not exploring. This is not surveying, checking it out for a military strategy. Again, which God doesn't need your help, but if you're going to help him, at least help him according to what he would want, right? The right mindset. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, go you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. So far, no problem. So far, it sounds like sort of strategic positioning, right? Verse 18, and see the land what it is. So far, no problem. Take a look at that land that God's going to give you, but I want you to be up from a high vantage point so you can see it. This is where he starts to slip. Regardless to whose idea it was, let me just tell you this. If God told him indeed to search the land out, which it says here that he did, it's doubtful that he told him to do it this way. So he sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land what it is. So far, so good. And the people that dwell therein. Now, what does that have to do with the land that God's going to give you? Now we got distractions. Now the research mindset has changed. So the people that dwell there, what do we want to know about them? Whether they be strong or weak. God's told you to do something. You don't step right outside the boat because you're trying to assess whether or not your opposition is strong or weak. Circumstantial driven, not purpose driven. Are they strong or are they weak? Now you tell me whether God would have instructed him to tell them that. Come on now. We don't have time to go there. But Moses, in Deuteronomy, as he's pointing out or reminding them of the punishment for their lack of faith, he also has a little break in the action where he says, and God even got mad at me because of you and told me I couldn't go into the land. He even went there. There's a break in the action. He's just going and going. And then he says, and he even got mad at me because of you. He doesn't even reference his hitting the rock as the reason. He blames them for his not going into the land. Here's what I would say. It wouldn't shock me if God got mad at him because of what they did, because he sent them in. And he sent them in like this. Understand you me, the leader gave them this kind of instruction. They asked for an opportunity to take a look at the land to prepare strategy. The leader is the one got them thinking this way. And God didn't tell him to do that. So Moses sent them to spy the land of Canaan and told them to go up and to take a look at the land and the people that dwell therein. Why? Because he wanted to know if they are weak or strong. You tell me why that matters. Did he ask how high the waves would be when the water got pushed back on the Red Sea? Did he ask how parched your mouth has to get and how long you can live without water when he was mad at the people for asking for the water? Now all of a sudden it matters how strong or weak the people are? Are you kidding me? And then he wants to know, not only are they strong or weak, but are they few or many? There we go, counting the people. This time, we didn't count our people. We're counting their people. Now, if you look in Deuteronomy, Moses, right around the same time, is saying, you know what? I can't handle all you guys. I can't handle all your problems. I can't handle all your issues. We need to name some folks. You need some leaders because I can't do it because God has multiplied you so much. There's just too many of you. So there's so many of them, and yet they want to know how strong or how weak, how few or how many. This is Moses' presumed response to God telling him to send some folks to search out the land. This is the leader now. So after he asks how few or how many, what does he say? And what the land is that they dwell in. So he wants to know now. First he wanted to know how strong the people were, how many there were. Now he wants to know about the land. Now what has God said about the land? I can't hear you. The land flowing with milk and honey. That's what God said about the land. Okay? Now, God has told you that the best life you could live is the life he prescribes for you, right? The best thing you could do is to walk out of that boat and do what he has told you to do for your own good, mind you. But you want to know how strong the people are, how weak they are. Am I dealing with an easy problem, an easy task, or a hard task? By definition, it's going to be a hard task. So this land, what do we learn about this land? What do we want to know about the land? What does Moses, the leader, the prophet, want to know about the land? Whether it is good or bad. Now, what has God said? Land flowing with milk and honey. This is God's blessing for you. But you want to know whether the land is good or bad. This is your research. If you want to make it sound good, you'll call it preparation. But if you go into your, quote, preparations doing this kind of research, you tell me whether this is leading you to action. Looks like you're weighing pros and cons to me. Whether it be good or bad. And then it says, what cities they be that they dwell in. So we don't just want to know how strong the people are and how many they are. We want to know the land, if it's good or bad. So whether they are in tents or are they in walled stronghold cities. Like that matters. The first battle that we know of after they cross the Jordan is the city of what? Jericho. And what happened to those walls? That city was impregnable, could not be defeated. Those walls came tumbling down. And what did they do to bring the walls down that had anything to do with their tactics and their strategy? Walk around it and look silly. The next day, walk around again and look silly and keep your mouth. Do you need to go in and spy out the land to do that? Do you need to know how many people they have to do that? Do you need to know how strong or weak they are to do that? But these are the kinds of things that we do. We call it research. We might even call it preparation. But God calls it unbelief. Next, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean. Now, God's told me to go there. God's told me to do it. But what I want to know is this going to get me more income or less? Is it going to cause me to have to watch my finances more or less once I step out on God? What's it going to be? I want to know whether the land be fat or lean. Am I going to have surplus? Is it going to get better for me or not? That's not how it works. Think about Joseph. Did Joseph look like he was all on the top of the world when he got sold into slavery? Did it look like things were any better for him when he was in Potiphar's house and his wife strolled up on him? Did it look like things were on the upward trend when they ended up from there in jail for a lie? But God had a plan. God had a plan. This is not how you prepare to do what God has told you to do. This is a way that you really avoid or delay doing what God has told you to do. This is something that God wanted you to know today. I had to fight for this. I can tell you that. I won't even try to tell you what the fight was like or how long the fight lasted or even when the fight ended. But he wants to know, do they live in tents or in strongholds? Because if they live in tents, I think I can do it. But if they're in strongholds, oh my God. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean. God, you know, I know you want me to do this, but we need to run these numbers. We need to run these numbers. And I'm used to living a certain way now. I'm used to a certain amount of cushion. Come on now. We need to run these numbers, Lord. I'm comfortable. I'm not sure I'm with you. I need to do my research. I need to weigh it out. I need to measure it. I need to know as if I'm going to do something. Now, remember, I'm going to skip ahead just a minute. After God cursed them to wandering around, they decided to go up and fight the battle on their own once they realized the wrong they had done, but they did so without God. And what happened? They were slaughtered. So you better do it with God, and you better do it God's way. I'm just trying to tell you what you don't want to do, what you don't want to end up with. God wants you to know today. He knows he's called you to action, but he also knows you. He hasn't left you. He's still in there with you. You're not on the other side of the river. You're not on the other side of the lake. You're still drowning a little bit. He's in the water trying to save you while you flail. And he just thought he'd share this with you. Notice all this meat we're getting. We've passed that controversy stuff. People get trapped in that baloney. No need. No need. So we want to know if it's fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. Are there trees so that we can chop them down and so that we could create tools and implements and things that we need for battle? Also, wood would allow them to build their houses and things if they need to build them. The point is, he's trying to figure out whether the land has all the stuff he thinks they need. And then he says, after he said all this, by the way, I want you to check your bank account. I want you to know whether you're going to get a promotion or not. I need you to check to see if it's going to be a hard task or an easy task. That is what I preached last week, right? I want you to check to see if it's easy or hard. I want you to check to see how long it's going to be difficult. How long will you preach to 3 or 4 people, 5 people? That's what I want you to check before you step out on God. That's what I want you to do. This is the message from last week. I want you to see what your finances are going to be like. I want you to see how comfortable life is going to be. I want you to check to see how many people will be with you, rooting you on. I want you to check to see how popular you'll be. And then he has, I say, the nerve to say, and be ye of good courage. Now, it's easier to be of good courage if I'm just checking out the land that I know God's going to give me. I'm going to come back with some fruit that's going to prove that it's flowing with milk and honey. It's all good. If I'm going just to check out exactly how I'm going to attack these guys that I know God's going to give me the victory anyway, hey, that's preparing for the parade. But he tells them all this doubtful stuff. And then he says, be of good courage. Wow. And then he says, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. What should we learn from this? I'm guessing that you've learned some things you didn't know along the way. But ultimately, we're talking about circumstantial driven life based on whether it's going to be comfortable, whether the money's going to be right, whether the people are going to be with you, whether there are giants in the land. Let me just tell you, wherever God's told you to go, there are giants. Can I tell you something else? This isn't news to you. But look, if you could do it yourself, if you could figure it out on your own, if you're surveying the land and coming up with a strategy meant anything, and certainly if you're weighing these pros and cons, could somehow figure out what you ought to do, when you ought to do it, where you ought to do it, you wouldn't need God. You wouldn't need God. That is in contradistinction to what God's already said. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fight this battle. I'm going to take care of this for you. So what am I trying to tell you? What did God tell me he wanted you to know? This is a challenging message because he told me, I'm preparing one message. He tells me what he wants you to know. And I say, all right, Lord, I can just say that in 10 seconds, but what scriptural basis do you want to use? And then we go there, and I'm like, Lord, come on now. You know there's controversy all up in there. This isn't seminary. I'm supposed to tell them this? No. They're going to trip up all over that. They had Moses making mistakes that the Bible didn't even call him out on. Man, I had to fight. I have my struggles too. It's not easy. But what are we trying to do? We're trying to get you to go from a circumstantial life to what? A purpose-driven life. So now if you've got to go into the land, and I know who we're dealing with, we ain't got a whole lot of, I'm going to walk out of that boat in us yet. And even when we do, a few waves, okay, and all of a sudden we start to sink because we get distracted by the waves, by the giants, by the fortified cities. We were there to take a look and prepare the celebration, the parade, the championship parade. And by the way, we happen to see giants and cities. It's one thing to happen to see them. It's a whole other thing to literally go in with that mindset. You are defeated before you go in. Understand one other thing, one last thing, I think. When you do your research, unless it is truly preparation, I mean truly preparation, and you preparing toward that mark, all you're ever going to do is reinforce your original beliefs. While you're weighing the pros and cons, if you really didn't want to do it, the giants will be bigger. If you really didn't want to do it, oh yeah, the cities will seem more fortified. There's two, the 10 spies that said the worst curse on the city said the city swallows up and eats up its own people. Some believe that that meant there's some sort of plague that was going on. There was an illness with the people. The two spies who gave a good report came back saying, hey, they're weakened. Their defenses are weakened. They saw the same thing two different ways. The two that went in and came out with a good report, They went in with a certain mindset. They didn't come out with a report based on the circumstances that they found. The other 10 did. So keep in mind, as you do whatever it is you find yourself doing, ideally on your way to fully acting upon what God has told you to do, I pray for your own good. Keep in mind that your mindset, if it's Godward, purpose-driven, if that's where you're coming from, then you're going to be all right. But if it's still fearful, if it's still timid, if it's circumstantial, you're going to be in trouble. And God wanted you to be forewarned. He's not mad. He loves you. But I can see, and God can see, what we can be and do individually and corporately if we all stepped out of the boat. A better life. And my prayer is that as a result of this word, you not only know a little bit more about the Old Testament, a little bit more about that trip into the Promised Land, a little bit more about Moses, but also more about what this journey needs to be about with you. It's not okay for us to mistake activity for progress. Just because you're moving doesn't mean you're going anywhere.